Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just preheat the oven of chat and we can slide in the turkey of fun. Welcome to the Off Menu podcast.
Oh, Ed Gamble, before we started recording, you said, I've got an intro, but it's awful. And you did not disappoint. That was the worst the worst one you have ever done.
What's wrong, man? As it came out, I was like, actually, this is way better than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
The turkey of fun.
How do you imagine the turkey of fun? What do you imagine that?
It's like a normal turkey, but it's got sunglasses on. It's like the one Monica put on her head in Friends.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Happy with that?
Yeah, we'll heat that up.
Yeah, although the sunglasses being on it in the oven scares me, because they'd melt, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but also you kept the head on as well. I mean, the whole thing is just a full turkey.
Oh, no, I'm imagining the sunglasses are on the body of the turkey, and the turkey is prepared for the oven.
Like Monica and Friends, yes, sorry.
Yeah, and the oven of chat is, it's like a normal oven, but instead of like heat and flames, it's just loads of people talking, which generates the heat.
Okay, well, it's actually worse now that you've explained it.
Yeah, no, I thought that. As I said, all the people talking.
Yes.
I mean, it's probably quite confusing if someone's never listened to this podcast before. James, can you please pull this back from the brink and explain what the hell we're doing here?
Yes. We, on the Off-Menu podcast, we welcome in a guest.
It's okay. We can do it. Come on.
To the Dream Restaurant. And we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, side dish, drink and dessert. And this week, our guest is Dane Baptiste.
Dane Baptiste, the brilliant stand-up comedian. It's a pleasure to have Dane in the Dream Restaurant. We've known him for a long time. He's a brilliant comic. Can't wait to hear what he thinks about food.
He did his own sitcom, Sunny D. He had a show called Bamus on BBC Three. He's got a podcast called Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, which me and Ed have done. But what food does he like to eat?
That's the question that we'll be asking him in this episode of the Off Menu podcast.
But there's a secret ingredient that we don't like. And if the guest says the secret ingredient, we kick them out of the Dream Restaurant. Different ingredient every week. This week, the secret ingredient that we will kick Dane Baptiste out for, if he features it in his menu, is chopped peel.
Chopped peel, of course. You find it in mincemeat and mince pies now and again?
Yuck.
In Christmas puddings?
Sometimes in a bag of raisins, it's just knocking around in there.
Yeah.
I don't like the chopped peel. It's too hard. I don't like the flavour of it. I don't get me wrong, sometimes peel is quite nice and stuff.
Candied peel is nice.
And, yeah, sometimes there's like,
zest,
you know,
is nice.
Zest? Oh, zest is a whole other thing, though, isn't it? It gets its own word.
Yeah.
People even describe good stuff as zesty. You know?
No one describes it as chopped peely.
Yeah. Oh, it's so peely. Mm. No, thank you.
That's bad stuff, is peely.
When your skin peels, people don't go, oh, good good news, your skin's peeling. But if your skin looks zesty, people will compliment you on
that. Oh, yeah, if your skin comes off in shreds, like zest shreds, people are like,
very zesty today.
So zesty.
So, if Dane says zest...
Fine.
Well, I think we reward him.
If Dane says zest, what do? Give him a little kiss?
I think we bring him in on the restaurant. He gets to be one of the owners.
Okay. Legally?
Yeah, because we kick him out if he says peel.
Yeah.
We bring him into the business if he says zest.
Okay, the business of zest. Yes, I'm okay with that, James. That's fine.
Good.
Signed off, ratified. Brilliant. As the co-owner of the restaurant. I'm on board. Let's get on with it. Let's see if we're going to have an enemy or a business partner. This is the off-menu menu of Dane Baptiste. Welcome, Dane Baptiste, to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm glad I got a reservation.
It's a hard place to get into, but the genie's puff out of his lamp took a long time there.
Welcome, Dane Baptiste.
There he is.
To the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Thank you, genie. I made reservations a long time ago, so I'm happy that I finally was able to visit. I am alone, though, unfortunately. But, you know, it's based on that experience. I'll bring a guest another next time, but I'm just happy to be here.
What guest would you like? Who's your dream guest?
Great question, straight away. Dream dining guest. Because this is a dream restaurant, Dane. You don't need to commit to being alone at this restaurant. If you want to bring a dream guest, we can magic them up for you.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm fine. Just hanging out. I'm fine. I don't want to force anybody. I mean, I'm not too particular about guests. Like, my requisites for dinner guests are just people that want to eat and good for conversation. So, yeah.
I do like that given the option of choosing anyone hypothetically from throughout history, alive or dead, any possible guest to have dinner with, and you went with, nah, I'm all right, I'll just go alone.
Yeah, I'll go alone.
Do you dine alone a lot, Dane?
Yeah, I mean, I find myself dining a lot on the road, especially. I just sort of live alone, so a lot of the time I'll order stuff in and try and get, like, actually quite nice meals from, like, Deliveroo and such. But yeah, a lot of time they're meals for one. Sometimes I actually find eating alone is quite a nice experience as well, sometimes. Mm. Great opportunity to people watch as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, more natural habitat than people eating and grazing. So, yeah, it's a nice experience.
Just when you're talking about eating alone after gigs or before gigs, I'll just take food with me and then I'll come back home straight after the gig. So I don't eat alone then. But it just brings back a terrible memory of once I did a gig in Stratford-upon-Avon. I was staying over. The gig was quite early. I went to get some food afterwards, sat down on a table by myself. There was a couple on a table next to me and they were chatting about the gig I was just on at.
They were
going through the lineup and they went, the guy on second wasn't very good. And that was me. I wanted to just throw my drink on the floor and go, look, it's me. I'm literally here.
Yeah.
Right. So why would you not want to eat alone, Ed? That's the kind of people that are out there in this cold, cold world. Of course you want to eat alone. You want to be joined by these kind of people that spend their dining experience destroying the dreams and self-esteem of others. I wouldn't know. You could have been like, maybe I was fucking hungry. Maybe that's why. I couldn't give you 100% because I was starving. It's very hard to perform when you're malnourished. Yeah. Hey, let them know that. Did they tip their waiter? I bet they didn't.
Yeah.
No, they definitely didn't. What I did do in the end, Dane, was I genuinely took a picture of them and put it on Twitter.
That's how you do it, Ed.
Dane, if you want to people watch while you eat, do you want us to put some people into the Dream Restaurant for you so you can have a little peek? And if so, what's your favourite type of people to people watch on?
People on a date, I guess.
Yeah.
I just like to find out what kind of conversations people have. I think, obviously, a lot of time people's basis for coupling and relationships can be a lot more of a physical one, based on how people look or what their sexual prowess is like. But, you know, even me and my friends, when we kind of ponder celebrity couplings, we're kind of like, what do these people discuss about dinner? Because I think that's just the most common practice that most people do. And it's like the cornerstone relationships. Like, obviously, all relationships and nuance are different. But the main thing is finding someone that you can share a bed and a meal with. I think it's a big part of relationships. And so I would like to see how people kind of react and how they interact. And, you know, behind the veil of pomposity and pageantry and expensive clothes and perfumes and tannins and lotions, who are these people when they're doing the very basic thing of eating? You can tell a lot about somebody by the way they eat, I think.
I would want a couple having a breakup in the room.
Yeah, that's good.
That's an absolute gold mine.
Have you seen that before?
Maybe once or twice I've thought that might be happening, but you're not sure. You're just going, they're having an argument. And you're like, oh man, they're upset with each other.
I quite like those couples who have clearly been together for a long time. Now, there's two types here. The silent couples. So it's either they're silent because they hate each other or they're silent because they're very content and you can immediately tell.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I love just imagining their 40 years together of absolute misery.
Some couples are just, food is their reason for bonding. Yeah. So I like those couples. You might go to a buffet and stuff, they're quite full, and they're not talking because there's food to eat. And they're not wasting time and wasting respiration when they could be putting food into their mouth and down their gullet. So I like those people like that as well, where it's like, it works because they both like to eat. And if they find somewhere good to eat, that's all that matters. And I like that type of person as well.
There's an episode of Cheers where I think it's Sam and Diane, but it might be another couple. They've not yet slept with each other. And for some reason they can't because, they're too busy. And so every time they're together, they just eat loads. And they're trying to figure out why they're eating so much. And then someone breaks it down that they're doing it because they can't have sex. So they're just eating all the time. So now whenever I see a couple really stuffing their faces, I'm like, oh, man, I guess haven't banged in a while.
Hey, it's the only two things we refer to as an appetite is our sexual appetite and our appetite for food.
That's true.
You know, normally your partner has a headache, you go to the fridge. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's always filling the hole. It's always a good indication of a good burgeoning relationship is when you both start putting on weight because you've been happily stuffing your faces and snacks the whole time whilst Netflix and chilling. So I think there's a real integral link between food and relationships. If someone lets you eat off their plate, very good way of telling what kind of person they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone's like, but I ordered this one, I'm like, oh, all right, fine. Then you can pay your own bill then.
So what does it say about you, Dane, that you're eating in your flat alone a lot?
That I read like to people watch with a certain level of sensory deprivation in that I don't want to smell them or hear them or have them look at me.
I was thinking of the link between that and your sexual appetite. Does that mean you just like to order in?
Well,
basically, I think Ed is making out that you're
pounding it.
You're pounding it.
I mean, you know, it's, let's say I'm watching my weight, if you will. You know, Ed, I'm nutrition, you know, between that nourishing, if you will, I am observing some intermittent fasting. Whichever appetite you're referring to, Ed, I say everything in moderation.
Yeah, you know? No, I think you're right. I think that's perfect.
But then I also say five a day, so don't listen to me.
We always start with still a sparkling water, but just so you know, I'm just asking if you want still a sparkling water. I'm not making out that's what you ejaculate or anything. I'm not going off the back of what we've just said. I'm not going still a sparkling water. I don't know what that's going to do with what I was talking about.
I wonder what sparkling semen is a symptom of, James Acaster. I'm absolutely fascinated. Carbonating your seed, fizzy jizz.
Oh, fizzy jizz.
Why is that not a thing yet?
Yeah, why is that one?
That's true. There must be some like pervy scientist who's invented a pill that you can take that makes it fizzy, right?
Right? Because then at least then you're like, don't shake it, right?
Don't shake it.
It will go everywhere, like a champagne bowl. You're like, imagine, that's like a... Actually, if jizz was fizzy, that would be a great way of indicating you've had a good time. They'd be like, you know, winning Formula One. They're like, ah, yeah! Pole position, if you will.
Yeah. This is, putting your thumb over it.
Yeah. Here's the term. Fizzy jizz.
Oh, sorry, Benito. Apologies, Benito. We can't see him on the Zoom, but he'll be shaking his head.
But we know he's shaking his head. He's definitely shaking his head.
He will not be looking impressed. He'll be taking his headphones off and telling his partner, oh, they're talking about fizzy jizz again. But still a sparkling water for you, Dave Baptiste, before your meal.
May I have still, please?
Absolutely. You may.
May I also have it with ice and a slice?
A slice of anything in particular, or is that dealer's choice?
Surprise me, but within citrus boundaries.
Okay, that's key, because you don't know what this genie's going to do.
Yeah.
James, if you were offered the choice, if Dane said, put a slice of anything you want in my still water, what are you going for?
Slice of ham?
Slice of ham.
Yeah, nice slice of ham, maybe slice of cake.
Yeah.
But I'd put it, you know, like they do with a slice of lemon on the rim of the glass. So I'd put a cake just sitting on the rim.
Do remember this is Dane's dream meal, not yours.
Well, if you leave it up to if it's waiter's choice, I first heard the term ice in a slice when I was a little kid and my auntie and uncle just like started doing it at home. They put a glass in front of me. They said ice in a slice. And I absolutely lost my mind at how cool it was to say ice in a slice. I absolutely loved it because it rhymed.
Still your humour.
I was just like, that is brilliant. They just said ice in a slice because it's got a slice of lemon and some ice in it. I absolutely loved it. Blew my mind.
Me too. I could have said, and a slice of lemon, but ice and a slice is just so much better. Slice. That's like, it's like I'm right there next to him in the bar, right? Ice and a slice, buddy. Yeah.
Would you say that in a restaurant environment to a waiter? Would you say ice and a slice?
It would depend on the restaurant.
Okay.
I think if I was in maybe a Browns or like, you know, I guess like a steakhouse, I might say ice and a slice.
if I was in maybe like in Nobu, I might not go ice on a slice. I'd probably say like, and with a stick of cucumber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
one of those places.
There are some things on the podcast, quite a few things actually, that I get way more excited than Ed about. And ice on a slice is absolutely one of them. I can't believe we've had this many episodes and no one said the term ice on a slice yet. And I'm so glad to hear it.
I tell you why I didn't get excited, James. I'm sorry. It took me somewhere else. When you said the first time I heard the phrase ice on a slice.
Yeah.
I was suddenly transported back to the first time I heard the term on the rocks.
Oh, right, okay.
So on the rocks, I now know, means with ice. Yes. But the first time I heard the term on the rocks was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, when he asks for something on the rocks and they bring it to him with loads of little pebbles, a glass with loads of pebbles in. But I hadn't heard the term on the rocks. So I saw that and I thought, what's he complaining about? That's what he's asked for.
I think that's why I first heard the term as well. Scotch on the rocks, right? Scotch on the rocks. Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the first time I heard the term neat when someone was describing a drink. And I was like, I mean, it's anything but neat. Artichoke is not neat at all. Neither is neat JD. It's really not neat at all. It couldn't be further from the truth. It's definitely not neat.
If Aftershock was neat, it wouldn't always end up on the floor.
Yeah, it's very, very, very untidy.
And we know that because we often have to do gigs in nightclubs during the week when they're not nightclubs, but they're putting comedy on in them. And we have to walk around on the floors and like the soles of your shoes nearly get ripped off by the dry aftershock. It's horrendous. Mm-hmm.
It really is. I mean, aftershock, that must be like aged in like kryptonite barrels. It's just, because it takes down Superman. It really destroys people.
I did a gig at a place in Sheffield and commented during the gig at how sticky the floors were. Because every time I could hear people in the dark get up to go to the toilet and stuff like that. Because here, and next time I went there, they'd changed the floor since last time. But when they pulled up the old floor, they cut out a block of it and engraved it to me. And I now have it in my flat. I've got the sticky floor. I've got a square of the sticky floor, and it says to James, "Here's your very own section of the stickiest dance floor in the world," and it's on my wall.
Oh my god, that's nice. Disgusting! I can't believe you actually kept it.
Yeah, I mean, I kept it. I kiss it every day.
I'm sure that's pretty much a biohazard. Yeah, to have that on the wall. But then it might be a very good deterrent. I mean, you know, not gonna have any vermin coming in the house once they get a whiff of the sticky floor.
And they'll get confused because they'll go in and go, the floor is on the wall.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There you go. They'll get the sugar, then they'll get stuck on the wall, and then they'll smell their ancestors.
That's a new game show I'm working on. It's a bit like Who Do You Think You Are, but with a more slapstick approach.
Yeah, like that.
Welcome to Smell Your Ancestors. Sniff it.
In front of you are five boxes.
Yeah. Danny Dyer there, just huffing on Henry VIII's pants.
Yeah. Fuck, you know, that's got a bit of a whiff to it, isn't it?
Yeah. That's ponging, that is, mate. Ponging. That's got to be Uncle Henry. That's ponging, that is.
Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Dame Baptiste? Poppadoms or bread?
Good question. I am going to go for poppadoms. Will they come with the obligatory chutneys and sauces?
They come with whatever you want.
Oh, yes. I will go for the poppadoms then.
They come with a little silver sauce pot thing that rotates, but we can add as many sauce chambers to that as you wish. Yeah. So it depends what chutneys would you like? What's your favourite chutneys? What's your favourite sauces with the pops?
I mean, I normally go for the typical, most variations are on the it's mango chutney, and I think there's the lime pickle and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. I love myself some raw onion at a curry house, so get that in there as well, both white and red. Funny how wine and onions are the same thing, but they're not made from the same thing. Right?
Yeah.
When you say they're the same thing, you mean just some colours, right?
Yeah.
They come in white and red. Yeah.
White and red, yeah. Well, but then I guess red onions are purple. Then so is red wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like you're one step away from insinuating that wine is made of onions. I feel like that's where you're headed, Dave.
No, because that's vinegar. So there, we got there. I know there was a link. There's something in between there somewhere.
Yeah.
One synapse is off. So to answer the question, all the chutneys, please.
I taught my nephews a song about wine.
Did you?
Cool.
Yeah, they like learning simple songs. So we were at the dinner table, but it was a family meal, and my dad got really annoyed, and he hated the song, and he wanted them to stop singing it. It's just them singing on a loop. I don't know how old they were at the time, but they're both there singing, wine, 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 it's very alcoholic. Wine, 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 it's very alcoholic. Over and over again. It's a really good song.
don't know. What, you wonder why your dad was like, I've had enough of this song.
He hated it.
Was someone drinking wine at the table? Is that how this started?
Yes. Someone was drinking wine. And they asked about the wine and what it tasted like. And I think maybe the person just said alcoholic. It tastes alcoholic. And so yeah. We started singing wine, wine, wine. It's very alcoholic. Oh, and we didn't stop singing it.
And the wine kept flowing.
Yeah, the wine kept flowing. I like making up little songs. Ed knows that.
I like it. It's the most melodic intervention I've ever heard of. So, you know.
Starter. Are you choosing Poppadoms because the meal ahead might suit it?
No, this thing is a nice option I wanted to go for, I think. I'm someone, when it comes to dining, I try to have the most immersive and like broad experience as possible. I'm not typically like an a la carte person, but I'd say for this starter, then I'd like... So I used to work in the media sales as an agency exec, which meant I used to take people for like client lunches and stuff, and discovered this restaurant in London called Hakkasan, which I think is one of my favourite. And one of their starters includes a dim sum platter, which is what I would like to have for my starter. It's got like a shumai, which is like a open dumpling. And then it's got like one prawn dumpling. One's got like there's a bit of fish roe on it. One's got like a black cod kind of one and like a vegetable dumpling. But they are amazing, all different types and textures. And it's like a little rainbow in a nice little steamer. And it's a wonderful one. It comes with also like a red chili paste and a little bit of light soy as well for dipping. And you also get like a Chinese vinegar as well for dipping. And so real big fan of the dim sum. So I'll go for that for the start.
Oh, man. I love it. I think I came to dim sum relatively late, maybe. I absolutely love dim sum now. We're near a Chinese supermarket and regularly just go and sweep out the freezers and just grab everything so we can and do dumpling night. Oh, hey, God. It's so good.
And the funny thing, I think in Chinese culture, dim sum is more of like a brunch thing and more of a light lunch thing. But I'm just like, can I have about 20 different types, please? They're amazing. Like, they're so good. Like, whether it's shumai ones or prawn dumplings, gyoza as well, every now and again. Mm. I could do a bit of gyoza, but big fan of Chinese dumplings. So dim sum platter for sure.
But I think you're right. I think you've hit on something there. The British attitude to things is take a really nice cuisine from another culture, and then the twist we add is having loads of it.
Yeah, loads and loads and loads.
You know that delicious dish you've invented? I'm going to eat that until I'm sick.
Yeah. Also, can I have some chips with it as well, please?
Yeah, also
some chips. Some chips as well, please. That'd be nice.
What's the most dim sum you've ever eaten, Dane?
Oh, good question. I think the most I ever had, no regrets, by the way, but I think the two... With my former housemate, I think we did maybe 9 or 10, just a stack where I couldn't even see him, basically. And just the waiter kind of like a Leaning Tower of Pisa bringing it to us. And we ate it all. Dim sum is so good. It's probably one of the only, I don't think I'd ever eaten turnip under any other circumstances. But pan-fried turnip cake that you get from dim sum restaurants. Oh, yeah. Oh, so good. Making turnips into a delicacy, I think, is amazing.
I think it's because they put cake in the name, right?
Well,
helps.
I think that definitely helps. Yeah. You'll always look at a cake, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm not going anywhere near it unless there's cake. If someone says, I've made this turnip dish, I'm like, well, I don't want to fart for the next 48 hours. But they put a little bit of cake in it. Lovely.
Yeah, it's up there with one of the cake, as opposed to, you know, other Chinese dishes that have become cakes that aren't so good, like rice cakes. Ugh. How can two words come together and make something so disgusting? Separately so nice. I love rice. I love cake. But come together, oh, my God. It's like when cousins marry.
I like both of those cousins, but they shouldn't be together.
Separately? Yeah, right. Come together, it's an abomination.
What about chocolate-covered rice cakes? And I'm not going by the metaphor. Forget the metaphor. I'm just talking about actual... Stop. Like, what about...
Yeah, if the cousins fuck and they make a baby and you cover it in chocolate, fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
You don't like the chocolate ones, though? You don't have a bite of the chocolate ones and think, this is all right? I quite like the chocolate ones.
Up until I get past the, you know, that small millimetre of chocolate, and then I'm like, oh, this is a fucking rice cake. It's just stop doing this to people. I'd rather just have a rice cake and, you know, come to terms with the fact that I need to go on a diet or that I need to watch what I eat, because that's why I'm eating. There's no other reason why you should be eating a rice cake.
Sure.
Right.
You know, not with pop chips being available everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new one. Pop chips, that's where it's at.
You like pop chips?
I love pop chips.
I've got a lot of pop chips in the flat at the minute.
Yeah, me too.
Nice.
They're sponsoring us for an episode, Dane, and they delivered what I would call a pub's back room worth of pop chips.
Pop chips, that amazing company that makes those delicious snacks. Man, you guys are lucky. I really wish I could do a brand partnership with pop chips. But, you know, perfect example of the perfect marriage of two delicious things. Pop enjoyed by northern children everywhere. Chips, enjoyed by both...
By northern children everywhere.
Enjoyed by northern children everywhere. Chips, enjoyed globally, and in particular, enjoyed alongside all world cuisine by English tourists. Put them together, and you've got pop chips. Everyone loves them.
Well, Dane, look, I think we can do a proper campaign for you to get a load of free pop chips. I think we can get the listeners to tweet pop chips and tell them that they should send you loads of free freebies because you've talked about
it. Listeners, I would be forever indebted to you, and I can assure you that if you were to continue your patronage by coming to a show, pop chips would be available as canapes.
That would be great. Go and see Dane Baptiste on tour. Get a free bag of pop chips. Yeah. Although I think they've stopped doing the buffalo wing flavour, which is upsetting.
We've got two campaigns.
Yeah.
Bring it back as well. Bring it back. Bring back the buffaloes.
Imagine having to tell people that. I'm currently involved in two campaigns. Both of them are about pop chips.
Some people say I spread myself too thin, but, you know, pop chips are thin too, and they're fine, so why can't I be?
Imagine this, Dane. Close your eyes first. Dim sum flavoured pop chips. How does that make you feel? Do you think you'd like that? Each pop chip in the bag is a different dumpling, so you don't know what you're going to get each time. It's like Revels.
So it's like the platter. A Hakkasan dim sum platter flavoured bag of pop chips.
I really like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like dim sum stuffed with pop chips doesn't work the same way.
No, they go soggy, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they go really soggy and the whole steam thing. So, yeah, I think, dim sum flavoured pop chips. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Great. Campaign number three.
That's campaign number three.
This is why I couldn't afford to eat with anybody else. We've got business to do here, guys. This is a business lunch. It's a business meal.
It's a business lunch. Keep your receipts. We can all claim on this.
Yeah, it's all deductible.
Let's get on to your main course now, Dane.
It's come down to two very narrow options, but I think the best meal is always home cooked. This is what I believe. And so my main course is basically elbow macaroni with brown stewed chicken. And that's what my mum used to make. And it's like a comfort food. It is very, very nice. I actually had the opportunity to make this with Levi Roots last year.
Wow.
And my God, did I shit myself when I made it. But he helped me improve the recipe and stuff as well. And it's one of these things where I enjoy it as an adult. I enjoyed it as a child. You can give it to kids because, you know, kids can be quite fussy with food, you know, as their palates aren't that developed yet. And, it's just a really nice comfort food. Very easy to make.
I think you're right about the home cooking thing. I love eating at restaurants, obviously, but, like, when you're really missing like, good cooking, you're like, I just want some home-cooked food. Just want my mum to make something, please.
Yeah, and that's my go-to.
Or Levi Roots.
Or Levi Roots. So, I mean, hopefully one of them will choose not to listen to this particular episode. But that's between my mum and Levi. But it's it was a real close tie between either that or there is a black cod in miso sauce that I like from a place called Rocco, which is so nice. And they also do another I think it's lei and sea bass in Chinese champagne honey at Hakkasan as well. And those were my other two options. Because I remember eating those and thinking, my God, this is the life. And I think it was one day where, you know, I felt like my stomach was beginning to rest on my space bar at work. And I was like, I need to stop going for client dinners. And so, that's why I say a whole meal is better because it's, you know, may not be put together with the same kind of, I guess, polish when it's finished in the same presentation. But that meal does come with love. And someone saying, you're getting a bit fat, mate. You know, they won't tell you that in a restaurant. But, you know, at home, mum will be like, you need to cut back a bit. And the key is, guys, is it's because the brown chicken is a natural gravy producer. And just having that pasta with a little drizzle of gravy, oh, man.
Mm.
Is it just like boiled pasta? There's not like a sauce with that or anything? It goes with the chicken, yeah.
Goes with the chicken with the pasta. And also it worked for me as a student meal as well, where, you know, money's a bit tighter and stuff. And also cooking conditions for most students, it's just inhospitable. Like, as we know, most student kitchens will not pass a -1 hygiene rating. So to be able to boil pasta and maybe have some leftovers, heat that up, just drizzle a little gravy on it, and it's the best. Although I almost do use the gravy as like kind of like a stirring sauce and stuff as well. But it's so simple and so nice, and I can see myself eating that alongside like my nephew who's so much younger than me, and we're just like, this is the life, young man. It's the life. This is my equivalent of like having my first beer with like a nephew or my son. It's like, This is it. In a plastic bowl too, just like Mama used to give me.
Just to let you know, Dane, I love that description of the food. James has been sat there for the last 5 minutes, desperate to ask you a question about Levi Roots. James.
Yes.
It happened again, because when you said Levi Roots, James went, oh, wow. And then his head went to everything he wants to know about Levi Roots, and he completely glazed over.
The Levi Roots anthology, all the way from like Dragon's Den all the way to now. I can just see James in the background going, I saw it. I could even hear, the reggae sauce jingle in his head. I could hear it.
Yeah. I was thinking, if I could get some of my songs to Levi and get him to start singing Wine, 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 It's Very Alcoholic and stuff like that.
I could see that.
Reggae, reggae, wine.
Reggae, reggae, wine.
What I was going to say was, Ed, can you guess what I want to ask Dane? Because like, I already knew that Ed knew that I wanted to ask about Levi Roots. I wonder, Ed, if from Dane's original description of the dish, if you can guess the other thing that stuck into my head as something that I wanted to ask about and talk about. I'll be very impressed if you know this, but it's quite possible that you would think that's something he would pick up on. I also wanted to ask about elbow macaroni.
I was going to guess that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I've never heard it called elbow macaroni before, but I know exactly what Dane's talking about, and I want to dig into elbow macaroni and if it's different from other macaroni, because I hadn't heard that term, and I just immediately like the term elbow macaroni as well.
Yeah, it's very specific, because macaroni, I think most people regard macaroni as like long tubules of pasta, mm-hmm. whereas elbow macaroni, it just slightly, ever so slightly curves. And I don't necessarily know if there's always different tastes, but I think something's very psychosomatic in my head, whereby it just tastes very different. It's just not the same. In the same way, to me, it's like the same as when people go, what the fuck's this? And they go, it's ketchup. And you go, no, this is not ketchup. This is tomato sauce. Okay? Uh-huh. So unless you've got another 56 varieties in that kitchen, you get this red shit off my table. But yeah, so it just makes a big difference. Like, so to get good elbow macaroni, Kraft do good stuff. And normally, it's so weird because I'm lactose intolerant, but I'll buy a box of like instant macaroni cheese because they do a particular type of elbow macaroni that I like. It's also the type that is normally used for kids when kids like do macaroni pictures and stuff. But yeah, you can buy really inexpensive stuff. There's probably about four different types of macaroni in my kitchen.
Now, what's he like? Did you get on with him? And did he sing any songs?
Right. He is very cool. I got on with him very well because I was very nervous.
What was it for, Dane?
He has a podcast. And so he invites guests to cook and then just to like, you know, just talk while you're cooking, which was very difficult when I was trying my best not to fuck up the recipe and then trying to multitask and answer the questions and stuff. But yeah, he was really cool, man. For me, the biggest fear was it's because the dish, as I understand it, I don't measure it in terms of like ingredients. I've just gone from following memory. And so when they're like, you need to send him the recipe in advance. And I'm like, how do you recipe? My mother doesn't recipe. She just goes, that's enough or a little bit more. So I had to kind of find a weird piecemeal recipe between the stuff I knew and the stuff I could find on the internet. And then he was kind of like, don't worry about that. I don't even need it anyway. And then he went and made it. And it was amazing. But he's a really cool guy and really fun and naturally a very good cook.
Did he try and put reggae sauce in everything?
No, he didn't. It was just like a nice accoutrement. So we made stewed chicken and stuff. The only thing I was concerned was that he put a Scotch bonnet in the rice with it to steam. But yeah, came out really, really nicely. I'm actually not that au fait with spicy food yet, but I'm getting there. I've been improving over the last 3 or 4 years.
So when you saw the Scotch bonnet, you were scared?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm going to embarrass myself and I'm going to sweat or shit myself in front of Levi Roots. And I feel like, I don't know how much of a compliment shitting yourself is to a chef. Mm. I feel like it should be one though, right? If it's going the other way.
Yeah.
Right? If you're, because it's almost like I ate so much, I wasn't even paying attention to my bowel movements when I needed the shit. So I'd rather sit here and shit myself than leave the table where you're cooking food. Chefs, if you're listening, let us know.
We've had a few chefs on this podcast. We've never asked them that.
I've never thought about how inappropriate the name Scotch Bonnet is for something spicy.
Yeah.
It's a really sweet name.
It's really up there with fizzy jizz. Yeah. Fizzy jizz all over your Scotch Bonnet.
I mean, yeah, I guess fizzy jizz doesn't sound spicy either.
No.
No. I mean, your tongue will tingle, but yeah.
I was thinking when you're talking about art on the wall, mm-hmm. once when I was at primary school, we had to make our favourite meal, like a picture of our favourite meal that our parents cooked us for them to display on the wall. So when people came around, they'd be like, oh, look, it's all their favourite meals. And my mum's a great cook and she cooked loads of amazing stuff when I was little, especially, right? And I panicked and couldn't remember anything she'd ever cooked me. So I made peas with cheese sauce out of crepe paper. But a terrible artist, didn't think it through. I made all the peas individually, only the bottom layer stuck onto the plate. So when it went up on the wall, they all just fell off the plate.
So it's a bowl of cheese.
Bowl of cheese, which, to be fair, was my favourite meal.
To be fair, he loves that.
Like, yeah, I feel like at one point that could have been your favourite meal, Ed.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. As it's well known on this podcast that I love cheese. I used to get packed lunch to school, and then I used to go to the dining hall and have proper lunch as well. I had to sneak in so they didn't see me because they knew I had packed lunch. And quite often I go to the salad bar and just get a bowl of cheese. Bowl of grated cheese.
Hey, listen, it's your life, Ed. You know what? It's your life, and I've heard worse. You know, people have like, there's syringes where you can inject cheese and stuff into things, and people do that. I used to work at Iceland, and they used to have an inside-out cheeseburger, which was basically a burger with a cheese filling.
I didn't know you used to work at Iceland.
Yeah, used to work at Iceland, and I don't know. I have a theory that, like, at some point at culinary school, Heston Blumenthal had a best friend. And his friend may have come from more modest background than Heston, and they would come up with all these crazy ideas. And Heston was like, I'm going to go and work and, you know, create things using cryogenic storage and fridges. And like, and the guy was like, what the fuck happened to you, Heston? You've forgotten who you are. And he's like, come on, buddy. And he's like, no, we said we're going to do this to give back to the people. Remember the five-bird medley, the turkey stuff with a goose, stuff with a chicken, stuff with a hamster? You were supposed to be part of that too, Heston. What happened to the inside-out cheeseburger you said we were going to do? And they went their separate ways.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Iceland is the sort of the cheaper equivalent of Heston-style mad stuff. Chicken tikka lasagna, right?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like the fat duck. It's like the fat pigeon. That's what Iceland is.
You know, there's a lot of snobbery. People just looking at Heston going, oh, he's a genius. I can't wait to see what he's done. And people turning their nose up at the inside-out cheeseburger as if it's stupid.
As if it's stupid.
But if you went to the fat duck and they served that, everyone would be like, oh, how did he come up with this idea? So good.
Yeah, it's like you can get snail porridge at the fat duck, and that's amazing. But if you get a caterpillar in your rice pudding, oh, it's for chavs. It's disgusting. things got changed, guys. We've all got bellies. We all take shits. We're all people at the end of the day.
That was the original name for this podcast.
We've
all got bellies and we all take shits.
We all got bellies, we all take shits.
We all take bellies, we all have shits.
Exactly. That could be the name of a nice tour, though.
Yeah.
We've all got bellies, we've all got shits. And then you could have, like, you know, and you open up every tour date and you're like, have a look at this shit. You want to know what created this? Welcome, Chef Levi Roots. And then Levi comes in. Like, look at that stool. That's healthy and regular. Well, you know, I use a lot of natural ingredients in my stuff. Allow me to demonstrate.
And we get the whole audience to stand up, but we all get our bellies out at the beginning.
We've
all got bellies.
And everyone goes, yeah!
Let me get straight, though. The format for the show, your tour show, is that you go on, you show the audience a picture of some shit that you've done, and then you get them to guess what celebrity chef cooked you the meal that made you do the shit. Then you bring the celebrity chef out and they talk the audience through the picture of the shit and talk about how their cooking influenced that shit.
Now, James, I know how it sounds, but I would submit to you that maybe 2 or 3 years ago, if I told you there was a game show where people dress up in masks and you can't see their face and they sing songs on TV, and then the game is to guess who they are, and they don't win any record contract at the end of that, and it's just a competition to see who's behind the mask, you'd say, what? But that's the last singer.
Yep, absolutely.
I don't think they're quite the same.
Not exactly the same, because one comes at your mouth. One comes at your mouth and one comes at your bum. But I'm just saying, you know, at the end of my tour, it was like, turns out this big shit was done by a big fat dude. You'd be like, yeah, that sounds right.
So that's the end. The end of the tour, the whole tour built up to you revealing that, and I quote, this big shit was taken by a big fat dude.
Well, hold on. Now I'm getting confused. I thought the slide that you're showing them is a picture of a shit that you have done, and a celebrity chef cooked you a meal. You ate the meal. You did the shit.
Oh no, not what I've done. I've got a tour to run, James. I'm not an animal. It's like a celebrity takes a shit, and everyone's like, guess whose shit this is. So then that's the first hook, right? Then it's like, it's this person. Turns out it's Davina McCall, let's say.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh, I'd have never guessed. Davina, you seem so regular and healthy. What's your secret? I eat well, exercise well. Let's find out who made this delicious meal that resulted in this delicious stall.
Yeah.
It's Levi Roots.
Yeah.
Now Levi's on the stage. He's
so
like,
two guests. Great.
And then he's like, then you add a scotch bonnet. And then Davina goes, that's what got me. That was it. Right?
Yeah.
And at the very least, people are there at least half an hour being like, what the fuck is going on? And then someone goes, I need to take a shit. And then someone goes, don't forget your camera. It's the level of audience engagement for everybody takes a shit will just be, you know, unmeasured.
I think that's, I love the guessing element. I love that we're guessing whose shit it is. So we've got the audience engaged then. Then the person who did the shit comes out and they've got to guess who made them do the shit. So they're guessing what chef cooked them the meal that made the shit happen.
Yeah.
My only problem with it is, as an audience member, is the picture of that shit is up for the whole show.
No, I'll go back to the first slide, which is like the which is the tour.
The logo,
it's just basically a mosaic of like butts.
Yeah. All the butts.
And bellies. It's like alternates, like the chessboards.
Butts, butts and bellies.
Everybody's got a belly and everybody takes a shit. Yeah.
Now, see, butts and bellies, let's do it that way. That's an easier sell, right?
That's nice. Yeah.
You call it butts and bellies.
Yeah, rather than calling it everyone's shits, if I say butts and bellies, that can get through.
I mean, I feel like there should be some sort of belly button pun there with butts, butt, button. Belly butts.
Belly butts on.
I mean, Anthony Jeselnik would absolutely destroy me for this, but like, I'm just trying to think of like a belly butt on.
Belly butts on.
I know. We'll sell it to BBC, and then when it's on the iPlayer, they'll be like, to find out more shits, press the belly button. And so,
great.
And it is like a picture of someone's belly, and their belly button is a butt.
There you go.
Or it's their butt, and their anus is a belly button.
Yeah, all right. I mean, yeah.
I've really enjoyed this conversation more than I should be proud of.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the side dish going to be?
I think in the theme of what I'm going with now, I think it'll be a side of fried plantain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Plantain is it's a literal gift from God. It's a vegetable that is delicious, continues to give back. Some say it is the bacon of the diaspora. You know, works the same way. You can have it any day or night. You can fry it, have it sometimes crispy and slightly burned is even better. It's vegan as well, and you can have it at any meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And you can also make plantain chips.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it might be the food that I think about the most, but never cook at home. And I've got to change that because I love it so much.
It's so good. I think it's the same with a lot of people. It's like, and there's just like this perfect like window of ripeness for the ripe plantain that if you get it then, when you fry it, just naturally caramelizes and chars. My goodness. I believe that manna from heaven was a misinterpretation or mistranslation and they meant plantain from heaven. That's how good plantain is.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with it, short of eating it raw. And I think even then, there's a whole thing now where you can like boil it and you can mash it up with avocado and it's like amazing baby food.
Obviously, the only thing I'm thinking of now is how funny I think manna from heaven is.
Yeah.
And I just want to talk about... anything from heaven makes me laugh. I think you're aware, Ed, that I find that heaven makes me laugh.
Yeah, heaven makes you laugh, yeah.
I really love it when people say they're in heaven. So now I just want to know what everyone's manna from heaven would be. For Dane, it would be plantain coming down from the sky.
Yeah.
Ed, what would you, if you were getting your manna from heaven, what would you hope to see coming down from the sky?
So it's essentially what would I want to rain down from the sky, right?
Yes, but like in the Bible, how familiar are you with the Bible, Ed?
I'd say, who are we talking? Jesus?
Yeah, that's New Testament or Old Testament.
Which, hang on, is he in both or just...
He's in the new one. He's in the new one.
Right. See, I'm more of a, I prefer the early work. So maybe actually just, what's he called in the first one?
It's just God in part one.
All right. Yeah, God.
And then in the second one, it's Jesus, but he's also God because he's part of a Holy Trinity, which doesn't mean there is a sequel, Ed, even though the name implies there is a part three. But that's not happened yet.
I'll wait for part three and then I'll read them all because I can't get into something if I don't know the end of it.
Do you know what? Sure. That's a really interesting existential point for most people. They're like, I'm going to wait till it happens. Because at the end of part two, there's some crazy post-credit shit in Revelations. Literally. So, yeah, I think most people are trying to find out what's going to happen in part three.
Yeah.
Before they really sign up to the whole biblical cinematic universe.
So what is manna from heaven then, James?
Well, so this is me now trying to remember from my Christian upbringing. I think there's a point where a group of people are travelling to the promised land, I think.
Yep, yep.
And they're camping overnight and stuff, and they're really, really hungry. They haven't got any food. And one night, or at some point, just manna from heaven comes down from heaven, from the sky, and they can eat all that. So just comes down from heaven for them,
right.
And they get to eat the food from heaven, straight from heaven.
And it's only one food?
Yes.
But it's the best food ever. It's really nice, and it's filling, but it's also low-calorie. Then it's like slow-release carbohydrate, but at the same time, like, it's fibrous and stuff as well. Like, before people said it was the best thing, before sliced bread, this was the sliced bread.
Right.
That's how manna from heaven works.
Yeah.
Because before, people would be like, I got this bread, and people are like, I don't give a fuck, we got manna at home. And people are like, this shit's already sliced. Game changer. Yeah.
That was when they started going, okay, yeah, well, now the phrase is best thing since sliced bread, but it was best thing since manna from heaven.
Right. That's how it used to be, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, eggs.
You would like eggs to come down? They would splatter on the floor.
Yeah. They're fried already.
You want fried eggs to come down from the sky?
Yeah.
It's probably the safest state for an egg to be in.
Yeah.
Just coming down from the sky, right? Because you could just have, like, you know, Alexa and just be like, oh, and just catch it, right? And then you're good to go.
Yeah, exactly. Or just a bit of bread. You just straight in, add a bit of bread on top.
Or you've got all your tomato sauce and you've got your onions and stuff, like your shishuka, and you're just like, oh, here you go. I'm sorted. Like, perfect.
Caught another one.
Eggs, you would want fried eggs coming down from the sky.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, fine. A manna from heaven.
Are they all the eggs sunny side up, or any of them over easy?
I don't like over easy. I don't know why people mess around with that sort of shit. It's just always sunny side up. It blew my mind when the first time I went to America and people were going over easy, and they were being brought those eggs where you can't see that the yolk's in there.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's all, no, it should be sunny side up. You know, you need to be open and honest with your egg.
Uh-huh.
Stop trying to conceal the yolk. Oh, yeah, that I let that fly by, the cheese injections.
If there was a restaurant, Ed, that exclusively injected cheese into, like, pastries, you'd go to that place, right?
I'd go to the place that it directly injected cheese into me.
Yeah, you'd go down the back alley and say, hey, mate, hey, you like to party, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Hey, buddy, you want to party?
Also, like, Ed has to inject himself pretty regularly anyway, so he could always do it in front of friends and family, and they would assume, oh, Ed's doing one of his injections.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't even need to be a sneaky little, going around getting yourself your cheese. You could just do it in plain sight, and everyone would be like, oh, he's probably just doing one of his, give himself some insulin.
Exactly. Nope. Until they look closely and see that I've screwed one of my needles onto the end of a Primula tube.
Yeah. I can see it. I think that's a good idea for a restaurant, though, right? Like, you know, like Shake Shack every now and again, they do different types of shakes and stuff. If you could get like a particular type of liquid cheese each month, a different cheese or a combination of cheese, and they're like, they'll either stuff it into the crust of like a slice, a pizza slice, or like in a croissant or a muffin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would you eat a muffin with a cheese, a melted cheese center, Ed? There you go.
Yes.
Would you eat a donut filled with cheese?
Oh, 100%.
Man. And finally, would you eat a Magnum bar with a cheese center? So like a chocolate, a choc ice, but with cheese in the middle instead of ice cream.
Yeah, for the experience, I would be like, you got to try that once. If they've released it, I've definitely got to try it. I'm not sure I'd enjoy it.
If in Edinburgh, they had like a deep fried Mars bar and then injected that with liquid camembert, you in?
I think I might be dead. I think I might be in.
Well, I'm not here to gut shame, Ed Gamble. I'm not here to gut shame. It's a dream restaurant. You have whatever you want, sir.
Ed, do you remember when we got sent that? Did you get sent that dinner? Is it Dinner Ladies? The Dinner Ladies.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And they sent us a Scotch egg that you injected with like a tomato sauce before eating it. It was amazing. It was so good.
That does sound very,
it was
very
really good.
I would go to a restaurant where the whole concept of the whole thing is, with every dish, you inject it with something, and you can choose what you inject it with.
That's nice.
So you can order anything on the menu, and then you say, and I'd like that with this injection, please.
Yeah.
And they would bring you that along, and then you can inject it and eat whatever it is you want.
That as a concept could work a lot better than you think, James. I think if you have, like, for example, we have all the cheese selections you inject stuff with, and then various types of preserves and jams and syrups that you can inject stuff in with for dessert.
And just like gravies as well.
Absolutely.
Gravies, any sauces.
Gravies, roux. This is really good. We call it syringe with an accent on the E.
Or
Ivy. I think Ivy is a cool name as well. But it's not like the other Ivy. This is Ivy.
The IV, yeah.
Right?
That's good, yeah. You could get it in a drip, the stuff you're injecting in.
There you go.
The IV.
The IV.
Yeah.
An infusion. And then, look, there's oxygen bars, James Acast. It could work. Remember those when people used to have oxygen bars?
Yeah.
I reckon we could do this. I mean, we better be careful with this. Someone's going to nick this idea off of us because it would actually be pretty good.
And then it's got all these injection restaurants will be like the new shisha cafe.
This is the best idea we've had on this podcast.
Yeah, this is the best idea since the glaze curtain game show.
Yeah.
Well, if I give you a double inside-out cheeseburger with both those patties injected with more cheese.
Yes.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I'm on board.
You believe in heaven now, James Acaster?
I believe in heaven. Benito, don't put this episode out until we've properly made sure we copyrighted this idea. Now, well, I think I at least know one of the drinks that might be on your shortlist for your dream drink, because I've heard you talk about on stage before how much you like it. I don't know if milkshakes are going to be in the running here, Dane, but I know you're a fan of the milkshake. Am I right?
I am a big fan of the milkshake, and it's got to be in there. I'm going to keep it somewhat more classy and go for like a dirty milkshake and add a double shot of Jack Daniel's honey bourbon as well. I've stumbled upon a recipe for a lactose-friendly milkshake as well now, because I've discovered that Oatly make a strawberry ice cream. So I take a few scoops of that. I freeze some oat milk as well. So you've got cubes of oat milk, dollop of jam, some crushed ice, and then just maybe lactose-free milk or soy milk, whichever one you choose. Double shot of bourbon, put it in a blender, and my goodness, it is whipped to muck perfection.
Sounds good. I love booze shakes, hard shakes. Aren't they? I think they're called hard shakes.
I like hard shakes, like dirty lemonades and stuff as well. There's a restaurant called Sweet Chick, which had opened over here. It's a Nas's restaurant. The rapper Nas had a chain restaurant called Sweet Chick. And it very recently opened in Central before lockdown. And they used to do like the hard shakes and all like the dirty lemonades and stuff. And I really miss it, man. I never thought I'd be able to drink tamarind juice, but there it was. With booze, living a dream. So milkshakes definitely have to feature. I think milkshakes work as a perfect treat. They are both a drink and a dessert. Refreshing, satisfying. And I've just gone through a very long, dark period of my life whereby my lactose intolerance has prevented me from being able to indulge in milkshakes unless I find vegan ones. You know, very few places do vegan milkshakes. And if any listeners have any clues as to where I can obtain vegan milkshakes or any vegan milkshake manufacturers, then if you want a spokesperson, I am all up for that kind of brand partnership. My goodness. And I'm this close to like inventing them myself out of frustration. People tend to be like infusing CBD into everything. Mm. And I was thinking that maybe I could be like, if Ben and Jerry's met Howard Marks, Mr. Nice, and then created a whole new line of very nice organic CBD infused frozen treats, including milkshakes, you know, like the custards that you get at like Shake Shack, ice cream, sorbets. Mm. So imagine if your grandma has like, you know, some kind of arthritic pain. Just give them a nice CBD infused ice pole. They can sit and chill out on a summer's day.
I don't know if it's because we talked about Levi Roots earlier on, but we are turning into entrepreneurs. We are coming up with so many business ideas.
But this you're saying we're coming up with so many business ideas. Dane's coming up with the ideas,
yes,
but he's doing it in such an open way to make us feel part of the conversation that we feel like we've come up with the ideas as well.
Hey, you guys have got the restaurant. I'm just coming to you with the ideas, okay? That's all we do. It's innovation and, you know, levitation, as they say. So,
I might have the ideas.
They do say that, but, you know, I think James has got all the logistics and stuff as well. So if you guys got a restaurant, this would be the perfect place to kind of wheel out that kind of produce, see how it works.
Look, I've got a notepad. All I've written down is the IV restaurant.
The IV restaurant. Don't let that go.
First page of the notebook, blank notebook, completely new, the IV restaurant.
In a few months' time, when Ed sits down to write his new show, opens his notebook, that's still the only thing in there. What was that about?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that's Dane's restaurant. I mean, surely there's a lot of money to be made in someone having a dairy-free milkshake chain or some, you know,
I'm telling you.
Like that. The thing is, Dane, Oatly ice cream, I don't really like that sort of thing. Like, that doesn't fill me with joy.
Oh, it sounds like frozen porridge. I know, Ed.
Right. Jack Daniels, I don't really like. But you've put them together, it sounds lovely. It's like the opposite of cousins fucking.
Right?
It's the opposite of cousins fucking. It's like two biodiverse strangers having consensual sex together.
Yeah. Or just two cousins having a meal together and going home.
Yeah. Or separately. Two cousins meeting platonically and maybe stumbling upon an idea for a frozen treat company.
Yeah.
Nice and normal stuff. Hey, here's another one. Liquor. People like liquor. People like rice. Yes. You put those together, that's licorice, and it's a fucking abomination.
Now, we come to your dessert, and we've already, we've got some clues, maybe. We're probably not going to have a dairy-heavy dessert unless you've made it lactose-free.
Quite a sweet drink already going into the dessert.
I have a very sweet tooth, though, so I'm more than fine with this. Because I can't go for the charcuterie board, can I? Or the selections of cheeses and grapes a lot of the time. So normally I have to make my excuses when aperitifs and charcuterie arrive and, you know, make myself scarce. So
you just run away. If a cheese board arrives, you run away.
You and me both.
Yeah, I got to get out of there. I've got to get from here. I've got to get out of there.
Yeah. I flip the board over. I ask if we're cousins and I leave.
Like men did in the old days, James. Some of the old customs need to come back. My birthday a couple of years back, my partner.
Oh, happy birthday for then.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
sorry we missed it.
It's cool. You were there in spirit, guys. Trust me. But I was there with my partner at the time, and we went to a place called Zuma in Kensington, which is, again, a really big fan of Asian fusion and sushi and stuff. And the dessert was essentially a platter, which had when they cut melon melon into the shape of like a boat, like a melon boat, mm-hmm. and there were like different fruits and stuff. If I see persimmons, or passion fruit, or dragon fruit, I know I'm eating pretty well. Or star apples and stuff. Like, these aren't normal. Like, the kind of fruits you won't find synthesized in a packet of fruit pastels. Yeah. You're having a good time. But I go for, the fruit selection, and it also came with a very nice, I think it was a fondant. It was a chocolate fondant. And it came with matcha ice cream, which I found very, very nice. So I'd want something very similar, maybe a little chocolate selection, but with a matcha filling. I want to say, matcha fondant filling. So it's like a chocolate cake, matcha fondant filling, and then maybe some fruit sorbet and a selection of the different fruits. And then all of that is infused with CBD. And that would be my ideal dessert.
Yes.
Yeah, I love matcha.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite powders.
Yeah.
It's like Grinch cocaine, isn't it?
It is exactly that. It's exactly Grinch cocaine. I loved it.
We're glossing over the CBD-infused food here because you've only chose to do it for the dessert. Does it not go well with all your other courses?
It can do, but I want people to just balance the palate and the appetite because it's come with a tasting menu. There's a lot of different selections and stuff, and I feel like if I have CBD way too early, I'm going to veer off from the course and I'm going to go from having a dim sum platter to being can I get some pop chips and another 12 poppadoms? And I don't want my appetite to be spoiled and these different delectable treats to be spoiled.
What's it supposed to do? Just take the edge off, chill you out a bit?
I think the idea is that so CBD is one of the other active ingredients as well as THC in the marijuana leaf.
But THC is the stuff that gets you stoned, right?
So that causes the head high, whereas CBD causes the body high. So the idea is that it works in terms of relaxing your muscles and stuff so that, I guess that's why it works with people that have degenerative disease and stuff, so their muscles aren't constantly spasming and tensing.
That'd be why I shat myself.
So it could be why you shat yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
that happens anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone was like, guess who did this shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gamble? What did he eat? CBD coffee. Who made it from Dave?
In this episode of Bellies and Butts.
Just in case anyone was, I am aware that I did my joke about shitting myself after Dave was making a serious point about the medicinal qualities of CBD. Thank you.
Yes.
Although that being said, Ed Gamble, if constipation is your issue, that's fine too.
That's true. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. Dane, I'm going to read your menu back to you now. Mm-hmm. See how you feel about it. Water. You would like still water, ice and a slice. Poppadoms or bread. Poppadoms of all the chutneys. Starter. Dim sum platter from Hakkasan. Main course. Elbow macaroni with brown stewed chicken. Side dish. Fried plantain. Drink. A hard shake with Oatly strawberry ice cream and honey bourbon Jack Daniels. Dessert. A platter of desserts from Zuma. Melon boat, chocolate fondant with matcha filling, fruit sorbet, all infused with CBD. How do you feel about that?
I feel good, man. I feel good. I have one request. I'm not sure if you guys fulfill it. If I can't finish everything, could I please have a doggy bag in case I see a homeless person and I can give them some food?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Some restaurants don't let you do that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've been to some restaurants. You're like, can I take it out? And they're like, no, I'm afraid you can't. Which I don't think is very nice. Mm-hmm. I think we waste metric tons of food, particularly in the restaurant and leisure and hospitality industry all the time. And I think, like France, we should make it a point of law that any food is provided to the less fortunate in this country. If I could stand on one political thing and achieve one thing politically, I would like that law passed in this country that no food is allowed to go away. It must be equally distributed among less fortunate. Because Nurse Bank, so we are the economic powerhouse of this part of the world, but all we've got is food banks. So why not, you know, do some real wealth distribution with the food? So that's my only request that the dream restaurant plays.
Absolutely, you can do that.
We'll give you a whole extra meal then.
Oh, thank you very much. You guys are the greatest.
It's mad if people don't let you do it, because you've paid for it. That's yours.
Right? Even if I choose to throw it on the floor, that's my choice, which I wouldn't. But yeah, there's some places where they just don't allow you to have takeout, strangely enough. But you know what? If it turns out that like maybe a waiter or a waitress is lying because they're like, I'm going to eat it myself at home, then you know what? Yeah. That's fine. As long as it doesn't go to waste. As long as it's not thrown away, I don't mind. If someone gets to eat it, then that's fine.
Well, thank you so much, Dane.
Thank you, Dane.
Delicious meal.
Very good.
A wonderful journey. And I think we've started about 3 different businesses together.
Yeah.
I think we have. And also maybe have started off a wonderful relationship between Dane Baptiste and Pop Chips. And those also will be distributed amongst my fans, friends, and well-wishers as well. So, you know, if Dane wins, everybody wins. Pop Chip wins. So.
Depending on how many you get.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dane.
My absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Baptiste there. Lovely menu.
Lovely menu, lovely men. The three of us.
Yes, lovely. A real trio of great guys.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming into the Dream Restaurant, Dane. Thank you so much for all of your business ideas. We will be running with every single one of them.
Absolutely. I can't wait to be millionaires, make so much money together. Yeah. Well done, Dane, for not saying chopped peel and getting chucked out of this restaurant, but bad luck for not saying zest and becoming the owner.
Yes, bad luck. It was a meal of two halves, in that sense.
Yeah. I guess he never knew what he lost. He'll only know when he listens back to this that he was nearly a co-owner of the restaurant. But he'll be a co-owner of the IV, and he will be in charge of kicking out Benito, because, let's face it, you and I will be too cowardly to do it.
Yes, too cowardly, and we'll be so drunk on our IV drips.
We will be absolutely hammered.
Do check out things that Dane does. Check on iPlayer, see if Bamus is still on there. Well worth a watch.
Sorry, Benito's rolling his eyes. At Off Menu Official on Instagram and Twitter. Offmenupodcast.co.uk is our website.
I'm so proud of you. Every time you get it right, I'm so proud of you. There's also there's a list of restaurants on there. I don't know how regularly they're being updated. But every time someone mentions a restaurant on the podcast, it gets popped on the website.
Hey, you should also listen to Dane's podcast, Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. Ed and I have been guests in the past. Fantastic stuff. Watch Sunny D as well. I'm not sure what platform any of these things are on because I'm bad at this, but Google it and watch it. Watch Dane Baptiste clips on YouTube.
I can't wait for you to have your own chat show, James, on BBC
One.
Yeah, it'd
be pretty cool.
So, Russell Crowe, what channels you film on?
He would tell me.
Google it.
He would be really happy to tell me that.
Who the fuck is this weirdo? That's what he'd say.
He'd go, it's so nice not to talk to a bloody kiss-ass who knows all the details beforehand. Thank you, James.
He'd knock you out, mate. You didn't let me read my poem. I'm going to slam you up against this wall.
I would let him read the poem.
You little lily-livered penis.
He wouldn't call me a lily-livered penis.
He would. But I want to hang out with that guy over there, Benito.
Ah, Benito, come over here. I heard your laugh. Yes, in here, get here. Get here, you little pipsqueak. I got you in your headlock now. Listen to my perm.
Come here, I'm going to do a noogie on Benito. Anyway, see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.